this morning, and also Philippians chapter number 1. Acts 16 and Philippians 1. This is a special morning for us, for our family. As we've already shared, this is our final service here at Bible Baptist. This will always be a special place to us. The work, the friends, the memories. This is where I had the opportunity to grow up as a pastor. And I just want to thank you, Don, for taking a chance on a young man and allowing me to grow and to use my gifts, and for my wife and family to grow and use their gifts. And thank you for taking a chance, and deeply grateful for you for bringing us here 12 years ago. This is where our kids grew up. This is the only church they know, really. You guys helped raise our kids. We tried to help raise your kids a little bit, and we've been blessed. You guys are literally family, where we don't have family right here. Even, I know, a couple occasions, at least one occasion, maybe two or three, where some of you went to our kids' school on Grandparents' Day because their grandparents couldn't be here. And it means a lot. So you may be thinking, well, Jeremy, why in the world are you guys leaving then? I think we'll find the answer in our text today. It's not a Christmas passage, but it's a timely passage for what is happening today. And I hope today that this message is informative, but most importantly, I pray it's inspirational. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit opens up our minds and opens up our hearts as we see how God builds His church and what part you and I get to play in the greatest mission that the world has ever known. And from the beginning, right from the start this morning, I want to make sure I say this, because I want to make it clear, just like Bill's song was and just like their choir song was, we're here to magnify and praise and adore the name of Jesus Christ. Today, this day is not about us. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's really, today is all about God. It's about His work, and it's about His church, just like it is on every Sunday. It's all about God, because God is the one who does everything. God is the one who has been work in our lives. Today, where would you and I be apart from the love of God, apart from the grace of God, apart from His Word that strengthens us and empowers us, and His Spirit that fills us? Where would we be without the Lord? Friend, there would be no Christmas without the Lord. Where would be no church without Him? And today, we're gathered to lift up His name and His name alone. And so today, if you remember nothing else, I want you to see God, and I want you to see Him working. And today, my hope and prayer, my goal is at the end of this service, you would not see this as us leaving, but you would see it as God working, because that is exactly what's happening. So today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16, and we're not going to go through the entire chapter, but we are going to look at this entire chapter as we see Paul on his second missionary journey. And Paul and Silas, they launched out from Antioch, and they traveled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches, and then they went to Derbe and Lystra. And you can see it from the map there, is the journeys and the way they traveled there. And we're going to pick up in verse number 6. And Joe, you can leave that map up there, because we're going to refer to it here in just a little bit more. Verse number 6, we'll begin reading in Acts chapter 16. And now, when they had gone through Phrygia into the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So they went to Phrygia and the area of Galatia there. And next, they wanted to go. Here's where Paul wanted to go. Paul's dream here on this second missionary journey, he wanted to go visit those churches that he had already been at. But he wanted to go out into some new territory. And in his heart, where he wanted to end up was Asia. Now, again, there's a lot of common misconceptions here. He didn't want to go to China or Japan or the Orient. That's not where he was headed. He was going to Asia Minor. That's where he wanted to go. And you see it there from the map, and you may be able to see. I'm not sure if you can see it big enough there. He wanted to go to the cities there of Ephesus and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea and Thyatira and Smyrna and Colossae, for example. All of those cities were on his list of cities he wanted to visit. But what did God say? God said, nope, don't go to Asia. Do you realize that God said, don't go preach the word. Don't go preach the gospel. It's because that's not what God planned was for Paul, to go there at that moment. Now, eventually he would lead them there, but not at the moment. And so we see, let's look at verse number 7. Keep reading here. It says, and when they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So here at beginning here, he wanted to go south. You see they're following his trail. He's up there at the top of the pink part now of that map there of Asia. And he's wanting to go, originally he wanted to go south into Asia Minor. But now, since God forbade him to go there, now he wants to go to Bithynia. And Bithynia, as you see there on the map, that green portion, the northern portion. So he said, I'm going to go north now to Bithynia. But what does God say there? In the end of verse 7, but the Spirit suffered him not. Again, for the second time, God said, no, that's not where I want you to go either. So what did Paul do? Verse 8, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now, Troas is where the star is on that map. And so what did they do? I love this. Do you see what they did there? Paul just kept on going. He didn't stop. He didn't go back and retreat. Well, God didn't let me do what I wanted to do. I'm going to go back. No, where did he do? He kept going along the only direction God would let him go, right? He couldn't go back home east. He couldn't go north. He couldn't go south. So he kept following God. And they end up where that star is there, which is a little city called Troas. And that brings me to the first statement that I want you. Well, first off, before I make that statement, because we'll lose the map after that, here's where God's going to take him, okay? And we'll see this in the next verses. He's going to take them across that body of water there, over into Macedonia, into a little, not a little city, a big city called Philippi, and all the other cities around there. And God has a plan, God has a purpose, and that's what I want you to see. The first statement that I want to make this morning about God building His church is this: God leads His people. God leads His people. Look at verse 9 and 10. It says, in a vision. See, Paul kept getting closed door, closed door, closed door. And then verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. See, God didn't allow them to go south. He didn't allow them to go north, so they just kept following God. And God brought them to Macedonia. That's where He is directing them. And there's a couple things with this thought that I'd like to point out to you today, and it's this. When our plan differs from God's plan, trust and follow God. Amen. Whenever your plan and whenever your direction, it differs from where you want to go, follow God. Whenever you get the door closed in your face and God's saying, no, this isn't the right place. No, this isn't the right direction. The best thing that you and I can do every single time is follow God. He knows the way. He knows the way, and we can't go wrong following God. And there's a couple neat things that happen here as a result of him following God. First off, a whole lot more people heard about Jesus than Paul would have ever planned in his own strength, right? And a neat little personal thing you'll see here in verse number 10, if you notice something, there's something that's likely missed there. It says, I don't know what word, maybe the seventh word in that verse. And after they had seen the vision, immediately, what's the next word? We. You know what happened there? The pronouns have changed. It went from they to we. That's because they picked somebody up in Troas to continue the journey. They already had grabbed, Paul and Silas had already grabbed Timothy. I can't remember which city, one of the cities they started earlier on in the journey. They grabbed Timothy to come with him. And now they came across a guy named Luke. Luke the physician. He's also the author of the Acts of the Apostles and also the author of Luke, okay, the Gospel according to Luke. And they picked him up here. This is where he begins the journey. And you see we, you see later on the verse, us. And you see, I have those circled in my Bible here in the Acts as I can follow where Luke was with them. Now here's the neat thing. Here's the personal thing. Paul was following God, and it was a good reason, because Paul may not have realized at this point, maybe he had, I don't know, but Paul very shortly or already was dealing with a thorn in the flesh. Satan was trying to buffet him, and he prayed, God, deliver me from this. God, set me free from this thorn in the flesh. But God said no. God said no. God said no. God said no. But you know what God did? God led a physician to join Paul's group to accompany him with his journey. Isn't that awesome? Because most likely that ailment was a physical ailment that of some kind. And it's neat to see how God did exactly what was best to build his church. And that's exactly what God was doing. Notice another thing I want you to see about God leading his people. It's the previous word that we didn't look at here. And before we, the word before we in verse number 10 is what? Immediately. When God speaks, follow immediately. Don't delay. Don't think about it too much, because if you think about it too much, you'll get distracted by all the other distractions that are out there. Just follow God. That's what Paul does. He follows God because God is leading him. There's a couple other things I want to mention to you. I love this. God doesn't send them. You know that? God didn't send them. God leads them, and they follow their God. Do you realize that? It's a subtle difference, but it's important. Why? God didn't just send, hey, Paul, I want you to go. No, God led them on their trip. They followed God every step of the way along their trip and their journey, and God took them under this turn and this turn and this turn, and they followed as God led. Isn't that neat to know? Christian, on your Christian life, and no matter where it takes you, through the valleys and through the mountains and through the plains and through the deserts and the temptations and through the turmoil and the pain and the suffering, hey, you are not alone, because the Lord is with you. He is leading you all along the way, and we just have to follow our God, because he is the one who is leading us. You know, I just want to make a point of this as well. You may be thinking, Jeremy, it's a great idea to follow God. That sounds really neat, but I don't know if I can do it myself. Do you know that you can follow God for yourself? You can follow God for your journey, for your path, because God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you, and we can follow God. It is possible for us to follow God. And sometimes it's not easy either, is it? Have you ever wondered why Paul knew it was the Lord? Why was it the Lord that closed those doors to go to Bithynia and to go to Asia Minor? How did he know it was the Lord? How did he know it was the Lord in the vision that said to go to Macedonia? How did he know it wasn't Satan trying to stop him from going to Asia and stop him from going to Bithynia and to maybe get him to go to Macedonia where he wasn't supposed to be? How did Paul know it was the Lord? Well, there's a lot of voices out there, aren't there? There's a lot of voices out there. What voice can I trust, Jeremy? I want to do God's will for my life. I want to follow God. I want to encourage you today. You can follow God. Yes, there's other voices. But let me tell you, there is one voice that you have to know, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and the soft whisper of the Holy Spirit in your ear. Today, I want to ask you a question. Are you walking close enough to the Lord right now to be able to discern the Lord's will if he were to speak? Are you walking right now close to the Lord to where you would be able to discern him speaking? A couple months ago, I had an unsettling in my heart. First of all, I'm thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? I'm thankful that I don't have it all figured out, and I probably never will. I'm thankful that I have somebody to follow, because I need somebody to follow, because I don't have it figured out. I'm thankful for God's grace in my life. And a couple months ago, I had this unsettling in my heart. Something just wasn't right. And it was a Monday evening, and And I had just gotten home, and Jenny could tell I was struggling. I didn't know what it was. I knew I was struggling. I didn't know what it was. And she just came over and shared some thoughts with me and some things that she was learning from her Bible study. And one of the things was about dominoes. She was learning about dominoes. I'm like, well, what are you talking about, dominoes? And she said, here, let me read you something. She said, when the dominoes of life cave in, our level of steadiness will be equal to our fellowship with the Father. Wow. The Lord hit me upside the head. She shared also with about Gideon and his life and his. They were studying Gideon. And Gideon, later on in his life, he lost his focus. He got his focus on everything else all around him, all of his circumstances. But you know what he forgot? Gideon, the same guy who left everything and who took to battle a massive army, 300 men with him, with no weapons, right? That same Gideon that had the faith to follow God, he wasn't following God anymore. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't following God, but the Lord revealed to me, Jeremy, you're a little distracted. And that night, I did my own Bible study, and I went to one of my favorite verses, 2 Chronicles 20:12, and I started studying and reading, where Jehoshaphat is faced with an obstacle, and he reads, he says this, he prays the Lord, and says, Lord, we don't know what to do, we are clueless, we are powerless, but our eyes are on you. And I said that night, Lord, I'm going to put my eyes on you. I'm going to focus my eyes on you. And I don't know what you're doing in my heart, God, but I want to listen to you. I want to know you, and I want to grow closer to you, God, because I haven't been as close to you as I have should be in the past. And again, I said, I'm thankful for the grace of God, because I'm thankful for a few weeks later when God did speak to me, I knew it was Him, because I was walking ever so close to Him at that moment. And I said, it's not my plan. It's the grace of God. But are you listening right now? Are you walking right now? Because it's not just for pastors to follow the will of God. It's for His people to follow the will of God. We all follow Him as He leads us. And today, if He spoke to you, would you know it was His voice, or would you doubt and question whether it was God's voice? The way we do that is we get so close. So I want to challenge you first off at this point. Be in the habit of getting alone and staying alone with God and listening to God and eliminating these distractions. It's been such a great couple months. Why? Because I haven't seen one bit of news. I've not watched ESPN one time. I've not watched Fox News one time or any of the other networks. And it's been glorious. I don't know what's going on in the news, and I don't care. Why? Because I've got my eyes on Jesus. Not that there's not times to do that. But friend, it's so good to fellowship with the Father. It's so good to get away from everything else. The social media and all that, and it's so much garbage. There's a lot of good, but man, it's so good to just spend time with God. And when we do that, we can hear His voice, and we know it's His voice. Let me encourage you something else too, second challenge. I challenge this. This is something I did years ago, and this is why it brings us to today. You say, how is this applicable today? Because this years ago I did this. I took out a blank piece of paper, and maybe you could do this right now if you have a piece of paper next to your bulletin. Write, I challenge you to do this. Before you do it, I'm going to tell you what it is first. Write my life at the top of the page and sign your name at the bottom and give it to God. Say, God, wherever you lead me, whatever you do, I will follow you. Here's my life. Take it and use it for your glory and honor. God leads His people. God wants to lead you. Well, we're going to continue on. I want to look at these next few verses here and get on to the next thought. And verse 11, we can see how Paul continues his journey here. It says, when loosing from Troas, we came straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, in a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. So here God is leading them. And here's what God's doing, okay? And this is, Paul can't see this at the time. He's leading them to another continent to take the gospel. Isn't that neat? God brought them across that body of water there to Macedonia to bring them to take the gospel to a whole new continent and to a great city, which is called Philippi. Because what is God going to do at Philippi? I want you to see it. God's going to build his church. That's what he's going to do. God's building his church. So what happens in Philippi? Now, we can't read. The whole rest of the chapter is all about that. And you can read that on your own. But we're going to read two verses here, verses 13 and 14. So let's do that. This is that on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, and where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here's the second thing I want you to know today. And the second statement I want to make is this. The church preaches the gospel. The church preaches the gospel. God leads his people, and then the church preaches the gospel. See, here, Paul went to the riverside. You say, well, why did he go to the riverside there in Philippi? The reason why is because Paul always started off with his mission trips to Jews. He went to the Jews, and then he went to the Gentiles. And there in Philippi, there wasn't a synagogue. And whenever there wasn't a synagogue, well, I won't get to the reasons why there wasn't a synagogue, just because there wasn't enough men in the city to want a synagogue. But they always worshiped the Jews that were there. They would go by the riverside where they could do their cleansings and that, and all the other stuff. That's where they would meet if they didn't have a synagogue. So that's why he went to a riverside, and also explains why he found a group of ladies there, because there weren't enough men there to have a synagogue. So the ladies are gathered there in this prayer meeting right there by the riverside. And what happens? Paul preached the gospel. He preached the gospel, shared the gospel to those ladies gathered there, and one of their names was Lydia. And God opens her heart, she receives the truth of the gospel, repents of her sins, believes in Christ, and is gloriously saved. And then, maybe right there in the river, right there next to where they were, she's baptized, and the very first member of the Philippi church is saved and baptized and joined right there. Isn't that awesome? And then they go to her house. And what does it say? Her household gets saved. Why? Because they preached the gospel there to her house. And they got saved and they got baptized. And they welcomed her and she welcomed them into her home. And her home became the very first gathering place for the church there at Philippi. See, God was building his church as they preached the gospel. And again, I told you, we go through the whole chapter here and look at Philippi. Let me just summarize what happens, okay? They're going around, Paul and Silas are going around doing ministry, and there's this girl that keeps following them, and she keeps calling out some things, telling things about them that people probably wouldn't realize, and Paul realizes that she's possessed with a demon. And so finally, he's had enough of it, and he casts the demon out, commands the demon to leave in the name of Jesus, and she's set free from that. Now, we're not specifically told that she gets saved, but usually when the devil leaves, Jesus comes up and sets up a residence in the Bible. That's usually what happens. And so we'll just assume this young lady gets saved, and we have another person coming to Christ here in the city of Philippi. Now, again, this kind of, if you read the story in your own, you see the transition happen. The people weren't happy that that happened. They got all uptight. And what happened? They went and they arrested Paul and Silas. They threw them in the jail. They were beaten. And there they were in the prison, their hands and feet bound. And we find them in the middle of chapter 16 singing praises and worshiping God at midnight. Why? Why? Because they love the Lord. And I'm getting ahead of myself. And we'll get to that in a second. But they're excited. They're singing praises to Jesus. But here's what happens. There's an amazing earthquake that happens at midnight. A jailhouse rock, if you would so to speak. And rock the foundation. The prison doors are open. The jailer is ready to kill himself. And Paul says, whoa, 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 don't do it. Don't do it. We're all here. Because he knew if they had left, he was as good as a dead man. So he comes in with a lie and he says, what are you guys doing? You're all here. And he says, yeah. And the jailer said those famous words of faith, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him what he must do to be saved. He believed in Christ and was gloriously saved. And then he took him to his house. They took Paul and maybe all the rest of the prisoners. I don't know. Maybe just Paul and Silas. Took him to their house. And the whole family gets saved, we see. His household gets saved as well. And they're baptized. And God is building his church. You know, I wonder too. We're not told this, but I wonder if some of those other criminals followed that day. I bet you if another bunch of prisoners got saved too. And here's the thing. You know what I bet they, if they didn't that day, I bet you they did the next day. Why? Because that jailer was a different man the next day. He wasn't the same anymore. He wasn't mean. He wasn't nasty. He was loving them. And it's so neat to see what happens when God moves in a mighty way. Lost people are saved. They're set free from the deception that has been binding them. And it's so neat how Paul and Silas, they didn't despise the man who had hurt them. They loved him. And he got saved. And he then shared with everybody else. More probably jail, more prisoners, more criminals got saved. We see also the first ministry starting here in this church. They had a jail ministry, or maybe they went multi-site or had a satellite campus, whatever you call it nowadays. Hey, but the church is growing. Why? Because God is building his church. One family at a time. One person at a time. One soul at a time. One message at a time, one testimony at a time. God is building his church. See, God met the greatest need of the people of Philippi through the preaching of the gospel. He met their needs. The answer to your need today is Jesus. The answer to Lydia's need, the deepest need in her heart, was Jesus. The answer to that young lady's heart, the greatest needs in her heart, was Jesus. The answer to the jailer's needs was Jesus. And the answer to every one of those criminals, well, at least we can agree on that. The answer to their need was Jesus, wasn't it? And they found Jesus and were gloriously saved. Jesus saved the soft heart, the blind heart, the hard heart. And friend, today, he can save your heart. If you're lost without Christ. Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never put your faith in Him, you've never repented of your sins, there's never been a day in your life when you can look back and say, that's the day I was born again. Friend, today is that day that God can save your heart, because He can save any heart. The question, though, I have for us is, are we preaching the gospel? You notice I didn't say, is our pastor preaching the gospel? I said, are we preaching the gospel? He's going to preach the gospel. I have no doubt about that. This desk, the gospel is going to be proclaimed. The question is, are we preaching the gospel? Every one of us. Every day. All the time. And again, it's hard for me to stand and say that because I fall so short too. It's probably nearly every day or every other day the Lord convicts me and says, Jeremy, why didn't you talk to that person? But we got to do it. We got to do it. And I want to encourage you, share the gospel, preach the gospel, because that's how God builds his church. So what's the result? Lost people are saved and disciples are made. The church is growing numerically. It's growing spiritually. Young Christians are maturing and growing in their faith. And the gospel is preached to more and more people. And the cycle continues on and on. These different people from different walks of life, and they're the beginnings of a brand new church there. I love it. Christ found them where they were. And they were miraculously saved. And here's they had nothing in common before that. Think about that. A wealthy businesswoman, okay? A teenage girl. A jailer and his family and the workers of this businesswoman and her family. And criminals. I mean, hey, this city is coming to Christ. And they all have nothing in common to begin with. But after Christ, they have everything in common. And they begin to gather and they begin to worship as God is building his church. And that leads me to the third statement that I'd like to make today. And that's this. The church fellowships together. The church fellowships together. Now, I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 1 for this point. And because Paul writes a letter later to Philippi and to the church there. And here's what he says in the beginning of that letter to this church at Philippi. He starts off and says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, the pastors and the deacons. Notice they've grown a little bit since last time, haven't they? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul and Timothy, they ride into this young church, this now, well, not young church anymore, growing church. And they're specifically thankful for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What is fellowship? It's many things. Fellowship is cooperation, it's communion, it's contribution, it's distribution, it's communication. And let me try to make it simple, okay? Really, it's a partnership. It's a brotherhood. It's a bond that forms as we worship together, as we gather together, as we meet up at our Family Life Center and play Rook together and share meals together. It's as we go out and share the gospel with the lost community together. It's as we sing in the choir and practice together and sometimes spend more time laughing than we do singing. But what are we doing? We're fellowshipping. We're enjoying the work of the Lord together as we partner together in ministry. That's fellowship. It's all of it is fellowship. And Paul says, hey, I'm thankful for your fellowship. Well, what kind of fellowship do they enjoy? One part of fellowship they enjoyed, going back to Acts 16, they enjoyed fellowship and worship. They worshiped together. You know, I know Paul and Silas were there in the jail when they worshiped. I don't know if there might have been other church members there too. Who knows? Maybe somebody else in Lydia's house was traveling with them and they got thrown in prison. We're just not sure about it. But here's the thing. They worshiped together. And why were they singing praises, Jeremy? I told you I got ahead of myself earlier. Why? Because they loved Jesus. That's why. They were praising and worshiping the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, it's a little more specific than that. Not only did they love Jesus, they loved what he was doing. Well, whoa. They're in prison, Jeremy. Yeah. They knew when Satan got everybody all riled up, it's because Satan was riled up and because he was mad about what was happening. Hey, when Satan shows up on the scene and starts to mess everything up, you can know that God's there too, trying to do his work and to build his church. Hey, when Paul saw got arrested, when Silas got arrested, I bet you Paul might have nudged Silas and said, here we go. God's working! And they were excited because they could see their God at work. They worship together. That's what worship is. It's a celebration of what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do in the future. They fellowship around worship. They fellowshiped in the gospel specifically. That's what he says in verse number 5 there, Philippians 1. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were at a funeral and you saw the dead raised to life? You ever seen that happen? Me either. Let me tell you, if I ever saw it, I would never forget it though. You with me? As I look out over this auditorium, I see many faces of people who came to Christ these last years that I got to watch and experience. There's a few of you who I got to go through the plan of salvation here at the front and other places all around the county, all around the world, even together as we share the gospel all around the world together. Friend, there is nothing quite like watching the dead raised to life. There is nothing like watching a sinner who has no hope of eternity, broken on their knees, confessing Christ as Savior. There is nothing like watching that happen together. And friend, I will never forget the people that have been saved in this ministry while I've been blessed to be a part of it. And I can't wait to hear of other people that we're still praying for, of them coming to know Christ as Savior later on. I can't wait to. Why? Because God is building His church. I'm thankful for our fellowship in the gospel. I'm thankful for our fellowship in service. As teammates, we got a chance to serve together. Later on in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about a fellowship of suffering. A fellowship of suffering. And I was hesitant to even say the words funeral, just because they're in my notes, but we've had so many funerals lately. And I don't want to make light of those situations. We've suffered a lot together at times, haven't we? We've been to the funeral home far too many times. Been in the consultation rooms as the surgeon comes back with the bad news. Kids straying, wandering from the faith. Marriage is ending. We've suffered a lot at times together. There's nothing like serving Jesus together and suffering together and bearing burdens together. Galatians 6 talks about that. We're as a church to bear each other's burdens. We're to share each other's loads. And it's been a blessing and an honor to share your loads with you and for you to help bear our burdens of these. We fellowship in prayer as well. One of the things that I probably will miss more than anything else is praying with friends. So we fellowship in prayer. I think I told you a few nights ago, Don, that we went over to see Donna the day before I announced my resignation because I wanted them to know. And they prayed with us and for us. And my heart was stirred. It's a blessing to pray together with God's people. Prayer is where the trenches is the trench. Where the battles are fought. That's where the battles are won. It's where the battles are fought and won is there in prayer as we join together and yoke together as we pray. I remember so many times all over the building where we'd pray and meet to pray. We'd pray for revivals. We'd pray for God to move. And James, where I met you down at the courthouse, we had a prayer meeting down there where we gathered and prayed for God to shake our county and to do something here and to save souls and to send a revival. I love our fellowship in prayer. Friend, prayer isn't always a sad thing. It is a sad thing sometimes, but oh, it's a time of rejoicing though as well, isn't it? Because we've seen so many answers to prayer through the years, and praise God for it. You say, Jeremy, what is all this? Is fellowship. This is fellowship. And I'm so thankful. Through large groups, through small groups, God builds his church as we fellowship together. And finally and lastly, as we come to a conclusion today, see, God leads his people. He does. He leads his people. They preach the gospel. We preach the gospel. We fellowship together. And then lastly, I want you to see that God continues his work. God continues his work. Look back in the end, the last verse of chapter 16 of Acts, in verse number 40, Acts 16, 40. It says that when they were come out of the prison, they entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and what? They departed. Paul departed. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they departed. Here's the thing. Paul left. But we just read from the letter that he wrote to Philippi, where they had pastors now, they had deacons now. What happened? God continued his work. God didn't stop. He kept working. Paul wasn't the one who initiated the work. Christ initiated the work. Paul wasn't the one who saved those souls. Jesus saved those souls. What did he say in 1 Corinthians? I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. And we see this in Philippians 2 in verse number 6 of chapter 1. He says, being confident is the very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus began the work, he continues the work, and one day he will finish the work, praise God, when we see him in glory. You say, Jeremy, what about the future of Bible Baptist Church? God continues his work. That's exactly what happens. God continues his work. We are departing. My family is departing because God has led us away. But God's work will continue. In the end, I started with this, and I want to say this to close. I wanted this day, I wanted this message to be not about me. I wanted it to be all about Christ. Why? Who was here 100 years ago when this church got started? Any? Well, that might get me in trouble. Okay, we'll stop there. We weren't here. But you know who was? The Lord was here. And when they passed off the scenes, our forefathers, and the ones who planted and toiled and worked to where we are here today on this campus, they've passed on. But God has continued the work. It was never about Don. It was never about me. It's not about Travis. It's not even about you. It's about one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who gets all the glory and gets all the praise because he's been the one who's been working since the times of Paul and even back before that up until today. And friend, he is the one who will keep working until he returns and calls us home. He is the one that we serve. He is the one that we live for. He is the one who saved us. He's the one who saves you. He's going to save the next person and the next person. And it's all about him. It's his work. And praise God, he will continue his work. If we are faithful to do his work, he will continue it. And I pray that he will. So the question, Bible Baptist Church, will you be a part of God's work here? Will you continue God's work here? Maybe you're just been visiting and maybe you're looking for a church to join. Will you, is God leading you, only if God's leading you, is God leading you to join Bible Baptist Church, to yoke up with us to serve and to see his kingdom increase and to see the work here grow? God is continuing his work. Will you be a part of it? And lastly, maybe God wants to do a work in your heart today because you know you're lost without Christ. You know you're no different than that jailer. You know that your heart is hard, that your maybe your heart is soft, but maybe your heart is deceived like the young lady. But you know your heart is far from God, and you have never humbled yourself before God, repented of your sins, and put your faith in Christ. You know today is a great day to do that. God wants to transform your life. He wants to save your soul. He wants to forgive your sin today if you just put your faith and trust in him. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today. Maybe you are the next soul that's going to get saved or that Bible Baptist Church through God's work as he builds his church. Will you come and trust him as Savior? We're going to stand to our feet and have a time of invitation. And I want you to come and respond as God has led you today. Today, if you need to come and be saved, our pastor will be here in the front and he can counsel with you, walk you through the Bible and show you how you can put your faith in Christ and believe in him and be saved. Today, if God is leading you to join our church, come and join our church and yoke up and serve here and be faithful here until Jesus comes again. Maybe God's leading you to make another decision. Maybe your commitment to the Lord isn't as it should be lately. Today is a day that you can fix that and point your heart to the Lord and fix your eyes on him. Today, would you do business with God because he wants to do business with you? Because praise God, his work is not finished. He wants to do it in you right now. As Brother Dan begins to sing, you come right now and do business with God, please.